Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Sure.
Do you remember a scant 5 months ago, April, May, June, July, August, September, a scant 6 months ago.
Okay.
When WrestleMania 30 happened?
I do. It was so wonderful. Mm. I enjoyed the crap out of it. Well,
golly!
Any Star Wars stuff you want to talk about?
You got nothing?
No. I mean, nothing but hate.
No, there's nothing. Just, I'm gonna come out and say it. I said it then, and I say it now. United Champions, worst pay-per-view of the year. Worst pay-per-view of the year.
Worst pay-per-view in recent memory, like, beyond this year. It's right up there with Battleground 2013. That was a bad pay-per-view.
I don't know how you remember this kind of thing. Yeah, sure.
No, that's just because of the main event with Big Show interfering at the end and the bell never rang and
oh, yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
No, I remember that. No. And it wasn't even a Night of Champions problem. Like, that's what I like. Because, no, I always hate Night of Champions because of the Night of Champions gimmick
being done. Yeah. But this isn't even because of the gimmick. This is just because of their booking.
Yes.
And just the way they planned out the matches.
Yeah.
Just, no.
And to go from WrestleMania 30, which I cannot fathom that not being pay-per-view of the year.
No.
You know, we got three more.
And so, it seemed like they're not even trying.
Yeah. So, like, the possibility exists, I understand. But WrestleMania, which, you know, I went out and said best WrestleMania of all time then, and stand by that now.
Yeah, I stand by it.
30 is the best WrestleMania of all time. To go from that to this Night of Champions in that 6 months.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't, it's just, it hurts.
We've talked about this ad nauseum, like, for the past couple podcasts, but it just feels like they're not trying. Like, yeah. Even with the staging, like, I know, yeah, I'm the guy who goes
flee for the staging.
Right. But it's the same staging as Raw and SmackDown, except no ramp.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the second or third straight pay-per-view they've done that for.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, I get it, yeah, they're trying to, I guess it's a byproduct of the budget cuts, maybe, but still, come on, like, if you're trying to reinvigorate your fan base, you gotta, you know, reinvigorate everything else.
Yeah.
Creatively. And your entire, your presentation in general.
It's just, and I get it. I get that Daniel Bryan got hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and I get that he's out and that sucks. And I get that Roman Reigns got hurt. And it sucks.
Socks?
With a U-C-K.
Okay. So more, okay, I gotcha, go ahead.
It super sucks, and I get that, and anybody else, did somebody else get hurt in all this?
No, not that I know of, no.
Because, like, we talked about, well, part of the problem with John Cena seems to come from, you know, the second babyface, you know, that getting hurt one too many times with Punk taking his ball and going home. Yeah. Austin took his ball and went home. Rock took his ball and went to Hollywood. Brock took his ball and went to UFC.
Yep.
And then Daniel Bryan got hurt. And then like, and when they announced, like, Roman Reigns out because of injury, I'm like, a freaking again.
Yeah.
The number two babyface, like, the Cena successor, out for several months due to injury.
And
I can't.
You know, and one of the most over guys on the roster, Bray Wyatt, and he hasn't even been seen in the past few weeks.
I think, like, I haven't watched JBL and Cole's show in a long time.
I haven't watched it in a couple of weeks, yeah.
So, but they need some level of story on that, or a like-minded web series where Cena is going around sabotaging the careers of those who threaten his face of the company status. Because that's the conspiracy I'm starting to get ready to throw out.
Yeah.
Like, when Roman Reigns got hurt, I was like, you gotta be kidding me. You've gotta be kidding me, this happened again.
Right, and he's like, yeah, he's encroaching too much on him, so I really feel, I kind of feel worried for Dean Ambrose now.
Yeah.
They were in the ring together, like, not as buddies, but allies.
Yeah.
That's what happens. No. That's how it started with Roman.
Mm-hmm. That's how it was with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what happens.
I don't like that.
It's risky.
I don't like that one bit.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get to this card. And if this is a video podcast, I'd be putting air quotes around the word card.
We should do a video podcast sometime.
Sometime we will.
Okay.
But this is... So it opens up with Goldust, Stardust versus the Usos. In what ended up being the match of the night, I feel.
Because they screwed up less than the other ones?
Because it was an invigorating match. The win was clean.
Yeah.
It was exciting. It was back and forth. It is a feud where I can see it going either way. Thus, mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like a time filler. You know, I could see either one of these guys walking away with a belt. Bonus points, the winners won cleanly
mm-hmm.
in a close match. So I will not dread a rematch.
Yeah.
Because I'll feel like I could again see a match that goes either way. And I don't know what's going on. I want to watch the match.
Right.
Because it's a good, entertaining, exciting match. Good job, you four guys.
Yay.
you tried.
Yay.
You did good. I want to give special congratulations to these four guys.
Who didn't screw it up.
Because I think that's about all I'm going to be able to do this week.
Yeah.
Good job, you four guys, for a really good tag team championship match.
This next match, though, and pretty much after this match, I think the rest of the pay-per-view goes kind of hazy for both of us.
Yeah.
Just hazy and like a hate mist.
Mm-hmm.
Sheamus won against Cesaro, which was, let me point this out, a really good match, but the ending was so terrible that it ruined everything else.
Here's the... And it's the thing that made me hate Sheamus back in the day.
Yeah.
That I was wistfully forgetting bit by bit.
Right.
All the way up until literally this match. Because...
Sheamus can take a beating the entire match and then just hit his bro kick and bam, he wins.
Yes. And does the Cena like, oh, I forgot I was injured. Let me power through unencumbered. And so Cesaro carried this match. Not even that Sheamus, like, you know, was terrible this whole match. But Cesaro carried it, and Cesaro hit effectively finisher after finisher.
Yeah.
With creative move after innovative move after creative move.
Yeah.
Just back and forth and amazing, one after the other and one after the other. And each one looked like a finisher that would surely end the match in a creative, impressive feat of strength and athleticism.
Yep.
And nope, because Sheamus can kick him.
Yeah, Sheamus kicked the end.
Yeah. And so it's... I'm not a big fan of finishers anyway.
Right.
And I've said that at, you know, before, and then the problem with finishers and, you know, in storytelling of effectively waiting till the finisher happens before you ever care that a match is, you know, might be ending.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. But Sheamus and this match in particular is worse than average.
Yeah.
Because it is literally, Sheamus has one super move that will defeat anybody at any point in the match.
And it doesn't matter what that person has done before that.
Yes.
It's effectively erasing everything else.
Yes. And so, no, right back into this is the exact problem. And Sheamus did the Sheamus thing that I don't like and is back here shining in full force. And all that just seething rage from before just came screaming back.
Yeah.
So, Next up!
Yeah, let's go to something that we were completely... Another screwed up finish that we didn't like. Miz defeated Dolph Ziggler. And we got to see Ziggler's butt.
Yeah. Okay, so...
Hooray.
Personal, like, wah-wah, because I love Ziggler and I don't want him to lose, so...
Put that aside.
But so that you know, kind of sprinkles into, like, oh, I don't like this, boo. But then Ziggler won the next night on Raw.
Yeah.
Which would have been fine, except that was one of literally four rematches from the night before.
And the second time that Miz has lost the championship the night after he won it.
Yeah. So this is just, this is, this was an overwhelmingly... So, now that, yes, Dolph Ziggler is champion again, you know, so I guess I'm happy for that, technically. But to have him lose on this night that I'm grumpy and bitter...
Yeah.
And then to have, you know, his win is tainted in this haze of, like, being upset that they are effectively undercutting the entire concept of a pay-per-view event... Or why should I even buy the network?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
If you're just going to have this the next day.
There is already this thing where it's hard to, like, justify... In the pay-per-view scale, you know, system, where you had 12 pay-per-views,
mm-hmm.
if it wasn't WrestleMania or something was building up, there was a little bit of, like, I'm going to find out... First of all, I'm going to find out because of the internet.
Yeah.
But I'm going to find out literally less than 24 hours Raw, and I'll see the fallout for free. So, you know, if SmackDown was the thing where, like, you had to wait from Sunday till Friday to have, find out, you know, what the results were, what the fallout was, that's different. But not only, you know, you're having this problem of, that still exists, but why would I pay that $9.99 that you want so desperately to make me pay if you're literally going to have every single match happen again the next night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While also giving away, well, supposedly supposed, you know, a match the night or the week before.
The week before, the Roman Reigns Seth Rollins thing.
Well, turns out we found out how that one was going to end.
It's a good thing
anyway.
We saw it then, because
Roman Reigns ended up getting emergency surgery.
Yeah, which was fine because I saw the match verbatim with a clean finish.
Yeah,
dust off hands, show's over.
Yeah.
So, which incidentally, that was technically the fourth match, Seth Rollins defeating Roman Reigns by forfeit.
I'm gonna go ahead and call it match of the night.
Yeah, sure.
They, you know, clean finish. Dean Ambrose showed up in a cab. That's always a plus.
Yes. I do like the one shiny thing was that because Dean Ambrose showed up in a cab, it's like he doesn't even know that Seth Rollins was issuing an open challenge.
Right.
He had just gotten there just now by staggering coincidence.
Right. Although the commentators were like, well, he did open an open challenge and Dean Ambrose just took advantage of that. And I'm like, he was in a cab. They don't stream Raw live on their network on the app. Like, come on. If they did, maybe he would, but he didn't, so he didn't.
Well, you can watch Raw or the pay-per-views on your phone, can't you?
The pay-per-views on your phone, yes, because it's through the network.
Well, this was a pay-per-view.
Oh, you're right. Okay, fine. He was watching the network for $9.99 on his dumb little cell phone in a taxi cab, and he was waiting around the corner to be like, hey,
can't you see
cab
him, like,
driver.
Just driving to the bar for the evening. He's like, wait a minute, turn this cab around. An open challenge. Huzzah.
So really, he was just happened to be in Nashville.
Yes.
Okay, sure.
Taken in the nightlife of Nashville.
I don't know what that is.
Or he drove from... Where was the last place we saw him?
I don't remember.
Whatever city
his head went through center blocks.
In Portland, because it's a city. I don't know.
Okay.
Portland or Denver. And he's been driving this cab since then.
Just take the Simpsons route and just say...
Springfield?
Springfield, yeah. Because there's one in every state.
Springfield, blank, yeah.
Yeah, there's one in every state.
Fair enough.
So...
Dean Ambrose is back, yay.
Yeah.
Dean Ambrose is easily the number two babyface. Which, again, I really want to be excited and happy about, because remember when we were all excited that Dean Ambrose might debut every single week for, like, 7 months?
Yes.
But they did that thing where they took the thing that I like and handcuffed it into the Cena storyline.
Yep.
And I'm like, no!
Every time.
No!
When something is working... In something that people can get behind and they like it, they have to put in Cena. Every single... Like, I wouldn't be as upset about the whole Cena thing. Like, every week there's something to complain about with Cena. Yeah, sure, whatever. But give him his own storylines. Just do that. Keep him separate from everything else. He doesn't have to be... He doesn't have a hand in... Have to have a hand in every single thing.
Here's the thing. I don't even think you have to keep him separate. But there are... 80 people on the roster.
Yeah.
So, let's say there's a 40-40 heel-faced split. John Cena can bolster any of the 38 faces that filter through your mid to lower card.
Yeah.
And give them the old Cena rub.
But Dean Ambrose, as you heard is from the multiple reactions he got, doesn't need a Cena rub.
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
And neither did Roman Reigns, neither did Daniel Bryan, neither did CM Punk, neither did, like, any of the other times, or Ryback, at the time, didn't need a Cena rub, because he was already over.
Yeah.
By that point, it was too late.
Yeah. So, I'm not even denying that you have a Cena rub, but you're rubbing it on things that don't need to be rubbed.
Yeah.
So, grumble. I'm frustrated. Alright, what are we at now? I'm seeing red again.
Well, get ready to see some more red, because it's Rusev versus Mark Henry.
The submission. The entire song? You sang the entire song.
The national anthem?
Yes.
I know, Horseface sang the entire song.
You couldn't have your Russian heel come out in the middle of the national anthem? Were you afraid that he might get heat?
They did that once at a house show with Miz, and they got a little bit too much heat. From what they had to apologize profusely.
I remember they did that in, like, what, Brazil?
No. This was like a United States, like, house show. Miz came and interrupted the national anthem to get super heat, and got so much heat that WWE had to apologize the next day. And Lana's already stepped over the line once or twice, just by kind of alluding to, you know, innocent people dying in a flight.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
So they probably didn't want to go that far, but that still doesn't mean you have to sing the national anthem in the middle of the freaking show.
Yeah,
and you sure as hell don't want to get Lillian Garcia to do it.
I mean, I'm not saying like have him burn a flag or anything, heat, but like.
Oh, man. Well, he could just do a Shawn Michaels and just stick it up his nose.
I don't know. It's not like they're a lack for USA chants and heat on the Russian guy. So maybe...
There's no need for it, because he's already going to get that monster heat. But you see that opportunity.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
I see that opportunity. It's a long song.
It is a long song. And unnecessary. They had enough American flag, they had enough red, white, and blue, and Mark Henry was already on Big Show levels of crying that night.
Yeah.
He was crying as he was tapping out. Which, again, they had a rematch on Raw the next night.
They did have a rematch.
What did Mark Henry do? He didn't tap out. He's too proud of American to tap out again. So he passed the hell out.
The pass out.
Happened on free TV, where he was, quote-unquote, nowhere near 100%. So you think, fine, that's the time where he would tap.
You save that for, not even just, you save that for Mania.
Yeah.
you don't even, like, oh, no.
And, you know, that's a good tool to use if they hadn't just used that, I don't know, Rusev versus Swagger a few months ago.
Yeah.
Swagger also passed out because he refused to tap, even though they changed it the next night and said that he did tap when he clearly did not.
Mm.
Or if they hadn't just done that with, I don't know, Royal Rumble 2013, where it came down to John Cena and Ryback, and John Cena decided to put Ryback in the STF, made no freaking sense because it was the Royal Rumble, and Ryback passed out. You're like, yeah, now you have to throw this giant ape over the top rope,
and it was
all limp noodle.
Yep, no, I remember that. Yeah,
it's fine when you use it right, but you're doing it too much now.
It's not exciting and
the
amazing.
Same guy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, well, we don't want Mark Henry to lose a week. Well, then why did you make him tap last night? He's already looking weak. He's already less than 100%.
And here's the thing. So, clearly, they've got a long build for Rusev. If the All-American American is going to lose to him.
And the World's Strongest American.
Is going to lose to him. Okay, so great. I am behind that now.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, you're going somewhere with him. This isn't...
Fine.
The, like, 4-month build to lose to somebody in the mid-card.
Right.
Which happens a lot, but, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're here. I'm like, all right, where are you going with Rusev now? I'm excited to find out. And I actually really like that Mark Henry lost via submission.
Okay.
Because everybody's lost for submission.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I won't, you know, declarate this as fact, but I don't think Rusev has even gone for a pinfall yet. No,
yeah, I don't think so either.
Which is, you know, kind of an impressive character choice that he's so confident in the submission ability.
Yeah, that he's never even gone for a pin before.
Yeah.
That he focuses all his energy on just weakening his opponent.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
So, I like that. And it makes me really interested in maybe 2 more months of Rusev build and this be Daniel Bryan's return feud.
Okay.
And a submission match.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm interested. Okay, yeah. Now I'm invested.
Sorry. I thought that was...
You kind of buried the lead there, buddy.
I thought that was implied with the Daniel Bryan thing. But I understand. No, in a submission match. That's
okay.
That was the concept.
Thing. Or the return of Kurt Angle. His contract's in TNA's up now.
I mean, a lot of this was pointing to the return of Kurt Angle, the submission thing, and, oh, the American thing.
And, you know, he already squashed, you know, the carbon copy.
Kurt Swangle,
yeah.
Yeah. So, next up, Randy Orton defeats Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Technically fine, I guess. Longest
match of the night, which, you know, seeing as how Randy Orton kind of works slower these days, mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
Fine match, you know, not, I can't, you know, honestly, everything that we, like I said, like, the last match, I was starting to see red as well. I don't remember anything about this match, other than it was okay, and I didn't really have one strong feeling, you know, one way or the other.
It was okay, but I was already so steamed throughout the whole thing, I'm ready to be angry at this match. Because I know Chris Jericho's gonna lose, because it's the thing.
Yeah, because that was his last match.
So I'm sitting, so instead of enjoying Chris, like, it's Chris Jericho, and instead of enjoying Chris Jericho's last match, I'm mad at this match for wasting my time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, and that's the thing, this match, I fully believe this match on another pay-per-view could have been really good.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
But it was sandwiched by terribleness.
You structured the whole show in a way that seethed bitterness out of me.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, moving on to the triple threat match for the Divas Championship, AJ Page and Nikki Bella. Here is a question that I would like to just pose.
Okay.
Why was Nikki Bella in this damn match?
I don't know.
There was no reference to her storyline whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
She really wasn't that... Well, she was kind of a factor, I guess, in the match, but Brie, like, there was no involvement or anything, or all it was like a Brie interview earlier, and Nikki didn't even reference anything with the storyline during the match or whatever. And then the next night, she was like, well, I couldn't win because I was distracted by this interview.
Yeah.
I'm like, really? Now I just, why did this happen? Like, no.
I don't know.
You get what I'm saying?
I feel like it has to be because they feel like the Bellas is their Divas storyline.
Right.
And the championship is second to that, but they have to have a championship match.
Right.
So they gotta choose the horn of the
belt.
Well,
in that case, wouldn't you think they would put the belt on one of the Bellas then?
No.
No, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but you would think with that logic they would.
Because WWE logic is we have to use a Bella to make people care about the title rather than, oh, maybe the title's important that we dedicated a whole friggin' pay-per-view to the titles.
Yeah.
I think I slobbered on that one.
You did. Oh. But you know what? I'm glad you're matching my rage about this because something did not add up with this whole scenario. And now they're fighting over their name.
Yeah.
Their fake name. That's not even their last name, but oh, you brought shame to the Bella name. I was like, yes, you brought shame on your cheaply named last name.
What happened to the possible affair with the physical therapist? I will not let this one go.
Yeah, no, because all we got was Bree saying, like, oh, no, I don't think he did it. The end.
No!
You can't, like, you can't leave that sort of thing open.
That is the setup for a 3-month storyline.
No, yeah, absolutely.
I will not have this.
You think it was just because Daniel Bryan didn't like it, so they backed off of it?
I don't know if somebody didn't like it or not.
Because he's very, like, publicly stated that he did not like that angle. He didn't like it at all.
Yeah.
So I have a feeling, like, once that came to light, they backed off of it.
Maybe.
Because they brought that chick back, what, like, the next week? Briefly?
Did they? Or was it just a Raw replay?
It might have
just been the Raw replay.
As many times we saw all the replays of this dumb Bella crap, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Do we even need to talk about the last one?
Yes, because I am upset about this last one.
Okay. I think I've spilled all my rage already.
No. Okay. So yes, this has to be a rematch, because I get it's a rematch. And this has to be a different type of match, because that's the thing about, let's just have one man German suplex another man 16 times.
Right.
Well, if you do it once, it's amazing, and I love it.
Yeah.
If you do it twice, that's the worst creative decision you could possibly do, and I hate you.
And it's, because it's lazy.
Yes.
It's carbon copy.
So yes, I fully expect a John Cena thing. And
because he's supposed to be more motivated than he was before.
And you know what? Had the last 4 weeks of Raw gone differently, I would be on the edge of my seat against all my better judgment being like, can John Cena overcome the odds? I do not know.
But instead, I remember we were all kind of like slouching in our chairs, not really caring about what we were watching.
But now, because of the past four weeks, I am now afraid that John Cena might overcome the odds.
Right.
And stressed out about it.
Yeah.
And so, but you know what? But it was a good match, fair enough. In that, like, because especially because I had an invested interest in one of the characters that I wanted to cheer for.
Yes.
So when John Cena kept hitting Attitude Adjustment, I'm getting there. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna be upset.
Yeah.
So you know what? You got that. You got me catching my breath on twos. Which you know what? For better or worse, that's your end goal.
Right.
Make me hold my breath on a two count. And you did that, and good for you. And then the friggin' thing happened.
Yes.
And Seth Rollins interfered.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Seth Rollins interfered and almost cashed in the Money in the Bank. And new rule, you get one almost cash in the Money in the Bank per Money in the Bank from now on.
Yeah.
That is too freely used.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. They did it way too much with Sandow. Ziggler. And they did it way too much with Ziggler. Yeah.
So, no. Stop it. And so, like, and here's the thing. And, like, it happened just enough this time that I was like, this might happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so we spoke about, like, the way the camera was angled. I was like, this needs to swing around. And Brock be standing in the ring, ready to go.
That would be impressive.
That would be impressive. That would sell. There's a few things that Brock can do. Like, Brock's pretty much cemented, you know, his unstoppability.
Yeah.
But there's one or two more things that he can do. Standing up in the ring, just being straight up ready to go there, would have been one.
Mm-hmm.
Making John Cena tap out would be one.
Yeah.
Like, you get John Cena to tap out to Brock Lesnar, you get that. That's almost streak-breaking levels of,
yeah,
this guy is unstoppable.
I think, like, because someone had a video on YouTube, I think, like, the last time Cena actually tapped was to Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I think he's not tapped in 10 years.
Yeah. I would fully believe that, yeah.
So, and there's a couple of things like that. But here's the thing. Here's the real,
Yep.
So, we know that Brock Lesnar is, quote unquote, Plan C.
Yes.
Was, you know, the Evolution couldn't get it done. Destroying the Shield couldn't get it done to save the Authority.
Yeah.
Even the intro. Brock Lesnar was Plan C, because there's always a Plan B and then C. And so Plan B just attacked Plan C.
Yeah. And no repercussions happened.
What is the fallout?
Right, yeah. You would think The people who put in Plan C would be angry at their Plan B that he interfered.
Did he do it on authority orders? Is Paul Heyman and Brock going to be mad at the authority? Did he do it in defiance? Are they all mad at Seth Rollins?
Yeah. Or did they have him kind of on standby just in case they thought John Cena was going to win? Yes.
And that could lead to anything. You can go anywhere. I'm excited to see Monday Night Raw to see where is this going, because you didn't do the cash in like you're supposed to do cash in. You did a cop out cash in against one mad at you, so you get to redeem it by having the repercussions come out where the authority does something and yells at somebody, and turns this way, and this guy turns against this guy, and we're gonna see. And it didn't happen. It didn't happen.
No, it did not.
It didn't happen, Chris.
No. We got on Monday Night Raw for the
night of rematches. Rematch, 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 rematch.
Yep. A flaming bag of crap. That's what we got on Monday night.
Oh my gosh, I can't. I do not think I've been this upset at WWE.
This really should be a video podcast.
Since I started watching.
Holy crap.
Since Bret Hart returning brought me back into wrestling.
Yeah.
I do not think I've been this upset, this strongly, this consistently, and this universally at WWE. Because that's the thing. It's not like that one storyline just really drives me up all. Because that's happened several times.
Yeah.
But it is uniformly the entire show.
Yeah.
The entire encompassing multi-storyline plot thread weave that WWE has crafted over their flagship show and pay-per-view events.
Yeah.
Is so fundamentally broken that I can't... I'm literally running out of adjectives and examples to describe my frustration and anger on a weekly basis.
So, hey, listeners of Class Ring Attire. This is Chris. Hey, how you doing? So to save Joel's blood pressure, this will be the
final... Which used to be really good.
Which used to be great. This will be the last episode of this incarnation of Class Ring Attire. Tune in next week where we will talk about your favorite wedding bands and a new version of Class Ring Attire.
Because of rings? Because
of rings, yes.
Oh,
yeah. And we're followed on Twitter by Class Ring Co. And I when they followed us, I tweeted at them, and I'm like, Father?
You think you're funny.
I am funny.
Whew. I need to get that off my chest.
I needed to. That was our buffer, so you can calm down. Hey, buddy.
I don't usually get this upset.
No, you don't. Like I said, this needs to be a video podcast, or at least this one did, because I've never seen you that animated, and I've seen you full inflatable arms, dude, excited before. Whew. I've never seen you that angry.
I don't think so.
Wow, that was kind of scary.
I
kind of wish this futon was bigger. So I can just get away from you.
Scoot away.
Yeah, I don't have anywhere to scoot.
Okay, so here's the game we play to keep ourselves sane. And just told you about. So, you know, one of the things, of the many things, at least I have been frustrated with, and I think you as well, is this cheap Insta gimmick thing that they've tried to do the past couple weeks.
Did they do the one like that this week, or not really?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean,
I wasn't able to watch it live, so I had no
I'm
really
quite idea. Surprised that the main event didn't happen at halftime again.
Right. And by halftime, I mean like 10 o'clock-ish?
Yeah. But they did the John Cena says he'll come back at halftime thing. Yeah. They did the season premiere thing.
Yeah.
So what, along these lines, what would you actually be okay with or interested in?
Short of killing Sheamus again?
Yes.
I can't. Weakening Sheamus is just such a good idea. I can't use it again.
Something you think they would actually do. Something that goes along those lines. You're like, oh man, WWE would do that crazy thing. Would do that off the wall. Because clearly what they are going for is not long-term storytelling.
No.
And, you know, like, I can complain and whine about that all they want. They have no interest or concept of any sort of long-form storytelling, any sort of, you know, character building over a several-month period. They want instantaneous, tune in right now, because now is the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, barring, you know, CM Punk return kind of thing, because flipping on the channels because CM Punk return blows up Twitter.
Yeah. Honestly, like, tease kind of a Sting return, or really just any sort of surprise that isn't the dumb 2K15 roster reveal.
Yeah.
That's already.
No, I was mad about that too. I was mad about that too.
Yeah, because, you know, they were talking all weekend on Twitter, like, oh, this is a great mystery thing is going to happen on Raw. Stay tuned for Raw. Watch Raw. And it's, hey, the roster reveal is going to air on the network after this, even though it was taped back around before SummerSlam.
And Sting will be on there.
Sting will be on there. That counts, right?
No. No. It doesn't count. It doesn't count. You said Sting. You got Sting. Give me Sting.
Yeah. See, honestly, some sort of mysterious thing, like a debut or a repackaging or something. Like, hey, this thing is going to happen at this point in time. Make sure you come and watch this at this point in time and have it be something that actually pays off.
You know what? That's the thing. Is like, if I was a casual fan, I would not believe them anymore.
After this many times, yeah.
I think they have killed that golden goose.
Yeah.
They like, turn it in, because mystery, you know, thing, here it comes. Nope.
Whatever. Oh, hey, look, John Cena's on the cover of 2K15. Aren't you glad you tuned in for that? No.
Nope.
Mm-mm. No. Like, really, that's only the only thing I can really think of at this point that would be worth it and would be good and would be entertaining to watch.
Here's what I would do.
That in short of saying that they will have championship matches at that time.
That's one thing. Have Brock Lesnar defend, issue an open challenge. That would be interesting.
There you go.
I would be curious.
And make sure they stay open challenge for the championship at around halftime on Monday.
Guess when halftime is.
Around 9:45, 10 o'clock.
Don't say halftime. Make a guess and say that time.
Yeah. Or better yet, start at 9:30, make it a 30-minute match.
Yeah.
Bam, you covered it all. You stay the whole time. Make it a good match.
Here's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring on Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Have Stone Cold announce that starting next week, whatever, after the week he was on, 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, every Monday night, would be the Attitude Hour.
Oh, wow.
So you have the 2 hours of Raw, the 8 to 10, and you do a Raw show. Yeah. You do a full Raw show. You have a main event starring John Cena, because that's what kids want to see.
Yeah.
At 9:45 to 10 o'clock, you have John Cena come out and do his John Cena progressing the storyline thing.
Yeah.
And then 10 o'clock to 11 o'clock, you do TV 14 material.
Okay.
You do cheap, crass stuff that worked at one time,
yeah,
and people will tune in again to see, even though it is not quality television.
No.
It
works.
Hardcore matches.
Okay.
You do cheap, trashy things. You bring back Attitude Era people.
Okay.
You either get DX, or better yet, you probably at this point, you get two or three young guys.
Yeah.
To reclaim the DX title from the sellout Triple H.
Right.
And Triple H in a Mr. McMahon role fighting these Ziggler and, I don't know, you know, like three or four guys.
Whatever, yeah, yeah.
Who are doing DX-y stuff to him, and he's trying to, you don't earn the name DX and order and law over your chaos now.
Right.
You do that. And you, if you can do it, bring back the Scratch logo with the F if you can.
Yeah.
Like, you do that. If you get another banner, you strap that on, you get a Raw's War logo going. So 10 to 11 is Attitude Hour.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Bring like that. You do a whole campaign and you're bringing the Attitude back.
Yeah.
However you want to describe it, conceptualize it.
Right. And just try it and see how it happens. You know, it might be something that falls flat on its face, but it would be trying something.
You make Stone Cold the general manager for that hour.
Yeah.
You have him walking around backstage, getting in disagreements with people, being like, wait until 10 o'clock, because at 10 o'clock I have power.
Yeah.
You tease that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do something like that, because that's what everybody wants. And you know that, because that's why you made the stupid Monday Night War documentary.
Yeah.
You are milking it.
Oh, yeah.
So, milk it for real. and get your cheap Instapop ratings that you want. And you still get to put John Cena on at halftime. And you don't get to look like a cop-out doing it. You look like you're having to be the main event of regular Raw.
Alright. I'm okay with this. I'm on board.
That's what you do.
Somebody tell WWE to get on this.
That's literally it's what they should do. It follows every cheap, shallow, short-sighted aspect of their goals.
Yeah.
And it's something I'd be okay with.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
So anyway, there
and, you know, and they, again, like, if you give them enough, like, you know, Stone Cold saying that the week before, he's, you know, that's both giving people notice to tune in and for, you know, parents to be like, okay, we're going to put you to bed now. You
exactly.
Know? You know, like, it's one of those things where, like, you can even put in, like, a special, like, intro / warning at the 10 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
You know, and so you cover all your bases and you can have specific.
And here's the thing, you'll.
And if certain sponsors don't like it, you can just have that.
You'll look good for doing it and you'll still have kids being like, oh, gotta watch this because that's the real rock.
Right.
You'll get it. Yeah. And you'll still look good for trying to keep them away.
I guess we should just go, what's making us happy this week?
Because we need it.
Because we need it.
Because we
After need all it. Of the just hatred that we've just spewed all over this microphone.
Mm. Yes.
Let's see.
What's making you happy, Chris?
Wrestling related, Dean Ambrose came back, and that's pretty much
that's
all.
Mine.
That's all. Like, it's all we can really hold on to right now.
Yep.
You know, they some more network stuff came out this week. It was good. The latest Monday Night War was focused more on ECW.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the countdown before I had to go to work. Well, parts of that made me angry, but we won't go in that because that's not the
that's not the point.
That's not the point of it. Non-wrestling related. Due to my new shift at work, I will have my first weekend off this weekend.
In
almost 3 years, not counting like stuff that I had to take time off for. Yeah, enjoying the crap out of that. Mm-hmm. Going to see some family for the weekend, and it's going to be great.
Yep. Non-wrestling related for me, Fall TV starting.
Yeah!
I've missed it.
It's going good. There's one TV show I saw the other, like, two nights ago, Scorpion. I didn't really know much about the show, I just kind of, like, watched it blindly because, like, it's new TV, might as well watch new TV.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I like the concept. Solly suggests that.
All right, I haven't watched Scorpion yet, but, you know, stuff's starting to come back, stuff I've been waiting for.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. We'll see what's going on. It's always an exciting time.
Yeah.
For TV.
It's like me and Joel's Christmas, really.
Mm, yeah. Getting to see.
Joel's got me into the habit of just, you know, if it's new, just watch it.
And see what happens.
Just watch it all.
You got some gems there.
I do. Like I said, you know, Scorpion, there's a couple others that haven't premiered yet, or I just haven't gotten around to watching.
Yeah.
Blacklist is back. I did like Blacklist, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., of course, was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wrestling related? Yeah, Dean
Ambrose. Yeah.
They're going to Chicago.
Is that next week?
It's either next week or the week after. And, like, while I honestly don't think Punk will come back, I am interested to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like...
But I think they're at the point where they can just really just ignore it at this point.
You think they can fully ignore it, like, not even touch it?
I mean,
it?
They still get it for when AJ comes out. Like, it might be a little bit louder when she's out there, and there'll be more, you know, sporadic CM Punk chants throughout the night, but...
We'll see. I'm a little upset Damien Sandow has kind of dropped the coming out of something each week. Because Damien Sandow should have come out in Punk garb. That would have been pretty.
This week, yeah.
Like that's the thing you should have done.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping for something. I'm hoping, like, not even if nothing else, just to break up the doldrums of
monotony of it.
Yeah, wrestling that I feel. So I'm hoping. He's not even part of the company anymore. I'm like, CM Punk's my only hope still. That his absence being acknowledged by fans is what I'm most excited to see in the future.
Wow.
But this is what's making me happy.
Yes, it is. That's the name of the segment.
Yes. So Dean Ambrose is back.
Yes.
And I'm really excited about that.
Yes.
Because I do like some Dean Ambrose.
As do I.
Okay. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attack. I feel really bad about, like, doing our promos at the end. I was like, if you want more of this.
Well, you know.
If you want more of bitterness.
Okay, this is.
Old crotchety man.
But you can't really blame us.
No.
It's not our fault.
No.
And we've tried to be as optimistic as we possibly could
be. Tried really hard.
Because that is the nature of our show. We are a very optimistic show. So, the fact that we are getting so angry should tell everyone exactly
how bad it is. Here's the thing. I'm still excited about things. I'm still excited. Like, Takeover was great. And the episode afterward, it was great. And I am on the edge of my seat of any time they're going to do, you know, an NXT guy could debut, and oh boy, I'm excited about this. You know, hold my breath, hope against hope, for some sort of NXT invasion angle.
Right.
In the not-too-distant future, because I can't see that not going well. I'm excited about all that stuff, and you can do it. You can do this thing where, you know, this smart versus casual thing where on Raw they're the heels, but you click over to the network and you watch NXT, and they're the faces who are taking on Raw. You have the ability to do that. And Raw, I have no faith in, but NXT, I have the faith of them watching NXT. I'm like, I think they might try that. They have the depth and the ingenuity to try something like that. I'm interested in that. So it's there, and honestly, the bunny thing. I'm excited to see who's in the bunny suit, because that's going to happen at some time. Or it won't, and whatever, because I'm not invested in it being a good thing. And the way that they can screw up both of those exciting things is if Sami Zayn debuts as a guy in a bunny costume. Like, if that happens, they're going to have to find a table to flip. So, these two separate things, and I'm genuinely kind of interested and excited to see what happens. They could combine them and make them both terrible. Fair enough. It's possible. But that's the thing, and they're there, but it's so crushingly... I don't want to say that stuff isn't there. I'm still going to watch NXT this week. I'm still really excited to watch NXT this week. Right. But I'm not excited to watch wrestling right now. And it's a chore to trudge through.
Yeah.
And it's always a little bit of a chore to trudge through a 3-hour show, because you don't put on a 3-hour show.
No.
As we have established. But, Hell in a Cell is a month away.
Yeah.
And I'm not at all looking forward. I'm looking forward to literally nothing before the Rumble. And I'm only looking forward to the Rumble because it is the Rumble.
Right.
So the things that I'm looking forward to, like an NXT invasion angle, are just hypothetical. Like, wouldn't it be cool if that happened? No more real than the Attitude Hour that I just made up.
Right.
So just something to look forward to.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be hard. No. You know, it's Dean Ambrose is back. He's not done anything, but he might do something. And that's what I'm excited for. And he has to do something because they made more noise for him than anybody else.
Yeah.
Like, as you know, even if they are lashing him to a Cena storyline, Dean Ambrose is going to be in the ring and doing something. We said before the podcast, Cesaro won a number one contendership. Which means sometime in the future, there is a Dolph Ziggler-Cesaro matchup theoretically going to happen.
Yeah.
These things are in the future, and they're happening, but there's not a thing. And the thing will happen, I feel. The next person, if as long as it's not Big Show... No, that's it. I just remembered. This was my favorite part of Night of Champions.
Yeah.
When Brock Lesnar was walking down the ramp. Mm-hmm. Ramp. Because it wasn't a ramp.
Yeah.
Michael Cole pointed out that Brock Lesnar has been undefeated in 2014. Because he's had 3 matches. He beat Big Show at Royal Rumble,
Taker at Mania,
and Cena at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
And now it's still technically undefeated. Yeah. Or he was defeated because...
Yeah, John Cena technically won by DQ, yeah.
But there has been rumors... that Big Show will be the one to go up against Brock Lesnar next.
Yeah.
I don't want that to happen. But Michael Cole said, brought up that Big Show already lost to Brock Lesnar earlier this year, and lost horribly to Brock Lesnar, was destroyed by Brock Lesnar, and and said as much. So my hope is that that was allowed to be said.
Because they're not going to go forward with
that. Yeah, because they don't, they aren't planning on trying to build up Big Show to be a credible Brock Lesnar threat.
Yeah, but it's still WWE.
Grasping at straws here.
I know.
Let me grasp. Just let me grasp.
So, basically what you're saying with all of this is that they should follow us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do that part again?
I probably should.
As always, you can follow us
on Twitter. Lost on the script.
At CR Attire. If you want all of this condensed into 140 characters at a time. We live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
Yes. Mondays are going to be a little bit more challenging, but we will figure out something.
Yes.
If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send those to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Still the easiest way to find us, the easiest way to keep track of new episodes. Look us up on iTunes, subscribe, give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. All that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
Yep. And if you're listening to us on wrestling.insidepulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
And don't forget that we are also on Facebook. You can just find a Facebook thing, like us, helps, you know, keep up with things and other goings. Yep. In addition to additional projects, Chris just made a pretty awesome top 10 CM Punk matches video that was posted both on the YouTube page and on the
Facebook page. Make sure you're in a good mood when you watch it, because the ending is going to make you cry.
I mean, so just enjoy some CM Punk reminiscery.
Yep.
Until next time, stay classy. And huzzah.
Huzzah.